This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Buzz Ulrich.
I'm Kip Allen.
And I'm Andy Bates.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
Thriven Financial for Lutherans has reached a decision on funding groups that, quote, distract, unquote. It's bad news for pro-life organizations. I'm Kip Allen, and I'll explain later in the broadcast.
Well, they had all of these institutions, but they never had their own ELCK, Evangelical Lutheran Church of Kenya hymnbook.
Missionary work involves both body and soul. Medical professionals are being sought for Mercy medical teams. I'm Eddie Bates, and I'll explain later in the broadcast.
And now today's Fast Track.
Dateline Accra, Ghana. More than 700 dignitaries and guests gathered this past weekend to herald the opening of a new seminary to train theologians for the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ghana, or ELCG. The Lutheran Theological Seminary day-long dedication event was highlighted by songs of worship and praise for Christ Jesus by choirs and musicians, and a ribbon cutting by ELCG Bishop Reverend Dr. Paul Kofi Finn and Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in Ghana began in 1958 with one pastor as a mission outreach post by the LCMS and became a full partner church with the Missouri Synod in 1971. The ELCG now has approximately 1,000 congregants and 150 pastors with the need to train more men to be pastors. The opening of the Lutheran Theological Seminary is the culmination of a quarter century of work by Bishop Finn and others in Ghana. Although the event was held more than a month ago, the folks from Lutheran Hour Ministries are still celebrating their winning entry in the Rose Parade. The float's Jesus Welcomes All theme depicted people from numerous nationalities, illustrating that all tribes and nations would come to know Christ as Lord. LHM's entry picked up the Princess Award for Most Beautiful Float 35 Feet and Under, and it featured the Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the brightly decorated vessel. Harrison and others on the float rode along the Rose Parade route in Pasadena, California, through what he described as a sea of 1.5 million people. Concordia Seminary recently held a multi-ethnic symposium in St. Louis, Missouri, USA, featuring worship, plenary speakers, and a panel discussion regarding various practices related to ethnic ministries operated by or recognized service organizations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The event this year came with the theme Communities of Hope. The two-day event closed with the 9th annual lecture in Hispanic Latino Theology and Missions. Approximately 200 participants attended the symposium.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
Thriven Financial for Lutherans, which calls itself a financial service organization for Christians, came under fire recently when it was discovered that it contributed funding to some pro-abortion groups. In the wake of that revelation, Thriven temporarily suspended its giving to all pro-abortion and pro-life organizations. On Thursday, February the 6th, there was a new development, according to Pastor Michael Shurman of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod in Sherman, Illinois.
The new development is that on Thursday, February 6th, Thrivent made public their decision regarding all the investigation and consideration they'd been giving to their various giving programs.
Thrivent announced the suspension would apply to all organizations it considers distracting.
Thrivent decided that they would no longer allow certain types of organizations into any of their giving programs. That includes the Thrivent Choice Program, the Thrivent Gift Multiplier Program, which is their employee giving, but also all their other programs, including the local chapter giving.
This ban is far-reaching. It includes not only Thrivent Choice Programs, but also forbids its local chapters from donating.
That program is where each local chapters all around the country are able at their discretion to provide funds for almost any organization that they see fit that has a need.
Although Thrive enlisted a number of different organizations it will no longer fund, there are three specific topics it targeted.
And then they go on to explicitly call out a couple particular issues that distract. And those issues are abortion, sexual orientation, or guns.
Although the financial axe fell on pro-life and pro-abortion groups alike, the impact is far from equal. Pastor Shorman compares the amounts given to the two sides in 2011.
In 2011, Thrivent gave $1,373 to pro-abortion organizations like Planned Parenthood. In 2011, to pro-life organizations, and that includes mostly crisis pregnancy centers, they gave $878,569.
The effect is devastating to pro-life groups, such as Lutherans for Life.
Lutherans for Life has gone on record saying just by being excluded from Thrive and Choice, they were losing about $2,000 a month. So just Lutherans for Life is, you know, we're looking at about $24,000 a year just from Thrive and Choice.
The pastor's at a loss to understand how an organization that bills itself specifically as Christian can be neutral on the question of abortion.
As Christians, we have to take a stand on the issue of life, and therefore, Thrivent's decision to say they're neutral is, I guess, problematic at best, but really is an admission that they do not want to stand for life as Christians and Christian organizations should.
Thrivent Financial for Lutherans has made its decision. A pastor says Christians in general, and Missouri Synod Lutherans in particular, now have a duty to let Thrivent know it made the wrong choice.
Write a letter, get on the phone, talk to your rep, tell them this is just unacceptable and needs to change, that Thrivent should be funding pro-life organizations and not funding pro-abortion organizations because that's the Christian thing to do.
He hopes Thrivent will realize the harm it's doing and change its policy.
I hope that Thrivent can stop and take a look and realize we've made a huge mistake. That's the whole point now, is to help Thrivent see that this is a huge mistake, this decision to declare themselves neutral like this, that they are doing far more harm than good to people that need help.
Besides contacting Thrivent Financial, the Reverend says there are other things Christians can do. Helping out financially by making private donations to pro-life groups is one way.
So one thing Christians can do is prayerfully consider trying to help make up that loss by maybe instead of through Thrive and Choice and some other way financially supporting Lutherans for Life, Wisconsin Lutherans for Life, and all these other local crisis pregnancy centers.
Another way is volunteering at a local pregnancy crisis center.
See if you have a crisis pregnancy center in your area and get involved with it. You may not have money to give to them, and that's okay. See if you can volunteer or see if you can do a drive to raise, collect diapers or infant clothing or food or anything like that to give to them, because they are doing the work that we need to be doing, which is supporting mothers, children in need.
There's also a petition drive in progress urging Thrivent to reconsider. This petition and more information concerning the Thrivent situation may be found at daringlutheran.net. That's daringlutheran.net. Christians cannot remain neutral on matters of good and evil. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
The Lutheran faith can now be read and sung by people in Kenya with a new hymnal in their very own Swahili language. It's been called an incredible labor of love by the Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, USA. After only 4 years of working on the project, 20,000 copies of the Abata Takatifu, or Divine Service, is currently being distributed to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya. Dr. Timothy Quill is the Dean of International Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. He talks about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya began in 1958.
European, Swedish Lutherans, and some other Lutheran missionaries brought the gospel. The church now has over 100,000 members, 150 pastors, they have evangelists, deaconesses, school teachers. They have a wonderful seminary in Matango, evangelist schools.
With this type of growth, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya was in need of a hymnal.
Well, they had all of these institutions, but they never had their own ELCK, Evangelical Lutheran Church of Kenya, hymn book. So Archbishop Walter Obari approached the seminary and asked if we could help them develop a book in Swahili, because the people there, some of them were using the Anglican hymn book, a few in English, like in Nairobi. Some use the Tanzanian Swahili hymn book. Some worship like Pentecostals. Some worship with no liturgy or hymn book. And so if you go into a Lutheran church there, you never knew what you were getting.
The newly published hymnal was recently presented to Reverend Tom Amolo, the chairman of the Hymnal Commission and a pastor in Kenya. Along with Dr. Quill's work, Paul Grimm, Deaconess Sandra Rhine, Cantor Richard Resch, and others played a vital role in the project. And what material is included in the hymnal?
We have a divine service. It has the catechism and their funeral service, morning and evening prayer, and psalms, and so forth.
These hymnals will now be distributed throughout Kenya.
The book just came off the press, and it's being shipped to Mombasa on the coast and then to Nairobi. There will be introductory workshops to teach the people how to use the hymn book all over Kenya.
Donations to aid in shipping the hymnals can be sent to the Concordia Theological Seminary Kenyan Hymnal Project.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
Usted está escuchando el resumen de noticias Mundo Luterano. This is World Lutheran News Digest.
The students and staff of Concordia College, Alabama, and crosstown rival Selma University will join in a fun local event this week. This two-day event kicks off with basketball games on the court in the Jenkins Center at CCA and includes a game featuring the staff and students of each academic institution against one another. Each game has special halftime activities planned, and attendees receive a free t-shirt. This event will conclude with a prayer rally on Thursday night. The passing of the leash ceremony on January 29th at Concordia University, Wisconsin, was witnessed by dozens of people in the Chapel of Christ Triumphant. The ceremony is designed to herald the arrival of a Lutheran Church Charities canine comfort dog at the university. Students, faculty, and staff were able to meet their new canine companion, Zoe, and welcome the dog during the first week of the spring 2014 semester at Concordia University, Wisconsin. A fully trained golden retriever, Zoe will be permanently placed at CUW's Counseling Center and can interact with students on a regular, daily basis, as well as others at churches, schools, nursing homes, private events, and what the LCC Canine Comfort Dogs are most known for doing, providing comfort at disaster sites. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has appointed Reverend Dr. Edward Grimmenstein to the position of Associate Executive Director of the LCMS Office of International Mission, the church's ministry overseeing mission in countries outside of the United States. Grimmenstein will oversee the day-to-day operations. Reverend Dr. Albert B. Culver III will serve as the Office of International Mission's Director of Regional Operations, in addition to his current role as Director of Church Relations and Assistant to the LCMS President. Culver will oversee the work of the OIM regional directors and be a direct advocate for LCMS missionaries around the world. Reverend Stephen Shave has been named the Director of Urban and Inner City Mission in the LCMS Office of National Mission, the ministry responsible for coordinating mission with LCMS districts, congregations, and schools in the United States. Shave has been serving as Associate Executive Director for the OIM and brings specific mission experience to his new role in the Office of National Mission for the LCMS.
Este é a Notícias Luteranas pelo Mundo. This is Raw Lutheran News Digest.
Christ not only redeemed our souls, he cured the sick. Body and soul, the message is clear. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod follows his example through medical missionary teams that go around the world, treating the sick as well as spreading the gospel. Mercy medical teams are now organizing and are seeking short-term volunteers. LCMS Life and Health Ministries Director Maggie Carner says that these teams work with established ministries on the ground.
The neat thing about the medical teams, first and foremost, is that they're field-driven. And by that, I mean that our partners in the field, our missionaries and our partner churches in the field, have established ministries already going on the ground of mercy.
Carner says it's important that there be an established mission already in place. This means that the mission can continue the work of the medical missionary team long after the team departs.
They request these teams from the field. So we know that once the team completes their service and leaves and goes home, then their impact will continue long after they leave because they have partners there on the ground.
Although the main job of the Mercy Medical Teams is setting up long-term health education and treatment, they also respond in emergencies.
We have been sent in emergency situations, but that's not the norm. For instance, we responded to the crisis after the earthquake in Haiti.
Aside from emergency situations, Carner says there are two main types of teams.
But normally our teams go in one of two types of service opportunities. One is a primary care clinical setting, and the other is community health education.
The primary care teams are most in demand. They go into areas that have very limited or non-existent medical care.
The most common team that we have is the primary care clinical setting. And these teams go most often to third world countries where there simply is no primary care or very rare or limited care or care, primary care that's so far away that people can't get to it.
Conditions are primitive at best.
Our teams will go in and set up a temporary kind of a mobile clinic on site in a village. We set up, you know, we're not very picky about what kind of a location we set up in. Sometimes we set up in the sanctuary of the local church. Sometimes it's just a tent. Sometimes it's outside, depending on what, you know, what's available in the area.
Equally important is preventing disease. Education is key. Many people in the third world simply do not know the very basics of health. This is where the Education Mercy medical teams come into play.
In many places, primary care is limited but available. But we try in those situations where basic health understanding is limited. So perhaps people don't understand good nutrition or good hygiene habits or how to protect themselves from unsafe water.
These efforts are not just limited to remote rural areas. Urban areas in some countries also need assistance. Carner speaks of a recent health education effort in a city in Peru.
So we did nutritional education for the children. We did tuberculosis prevention education, basic information on, hygiene habits, good cooking habits, those kind of things. And we set up just a fun health fair in the middle of the park that afternoon and had a record turnout.
Local Lutherans on the ground were instrumental in setting up this health fair.
It was a wonderful opportunity for our local Mercy House with our partners on the ground. Our missionaries have set up a Mercy House in that urban area for after-school training with kids and tutoring, and they set up this health fair, and we did the volunteering to help execute that fair.
The clinical teams have been especially active recently, according to Carner.
The two most frequent places that we send clinical teams are Kenya and Madagascar.
There's a heavy schedule this year for Mercy medical teams. Both clinical and educational teams are slated to visit a number of countries.
Well, in this year's schedule, we, in March, will be sending a clinical team to Madagascar, an island off the southern coast of Africa. In May, we'll be sending an educational team to the Dominican Republic. In June, there'll be a clinical team that will be going to Kenya. In September, there will be an educational team that will be going to Kyrgyzstan. And in October, another clinical team to Madagascar. We're also currently working on developing teams to Belize and Honduras.
So volunteers are needed to bring these teams up to strength. Carner says medical professionals are especially needed.
Well, anyone that has a healthcare background, we especially are in need of physicians, nurses, pharmacists. A lot of times people don't realize that pharmacists are crucially needed for these things.
Other volunteers are needed as well to support the medical teams.
We also use laity in certain instances, a hardworking laity. They got to be willing to get their elbows dirty and get out there in the field and help us do some of the non-clinical work.
Once a volunteer is accepted, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod handles arrangements from there.
If you are a medical professional and you're interested in doing this, we take care of all the logistics and all the details. Plug you into a team that we've pulled together that we feel is made up of, a well-balanced team of medical professionals.
Mercy medical teams, including non-medical volunteers, are true missionaries, carrying on the work of Christ to the nations. God cares about the body as well as the soul.
Christ cares about both the body and the soul together. And the two work, cohesively together. You can't care about the soul until you care about the body, and you can't care about the body unless you're caring about the soul as well.
People interested in volunteering for Mercy Medical Team missions can get more information at lcms.org/mercyteams or email mercyteams@lcms.org or call 1-800-248-1930 extension 1711. I'm Eddie Bates with World Lutheran News Digest.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at KFUO.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@KFUO.org.